Hey, welcome to our first... This is our first real episode of the British Equestrian Podcast. Because the first one, Rachel, was like 6 minutes, you and me.
Yeah, it was just kind of us rambling away in the BEF garden.
Yeah, it is. Well, we're back in the BEF garden, yards away from our desks. This is our first real episode, because this is the one where we've actually got an interview. And we've got a great interview to start with, someone who is having an amazing year, Piggy French.
Yes, there was quite a bit of pressure to work out who would be the best person for us to have our first interview with, and we ummed and ahed and couldn't decide for ages, but Piggy is having an absolutely stonking year, both competitively and also in her personal life.
She is, and so you've spoken to her, and obviously you talk about badminton, but most people will know this, I guess. But Piggy got married this year, and it was a big secret. They kept it a secret from, it seems, just about everyone. Mm.
Yeah, it was. It was basically she was having a party to celebrate her badminton victory, and halfway through this party, she and her partner Tom just went, "Yeah, oh, by the way, we're off to get married now.
Wow.
Let's all head down to the church." So she spilled all the beans with me at team training the other week, which was great fun.
Yeah, excellent. So so we've got Piggy in this episode, and we've got there are other riders we're going to be speaking to in episodes to come. And obviously there are other elements of equestrian sport that we're going to want to reflect as well. I think we spoke last week about the project in Liverpool. It's really inspiring. Other inspiring projects, we want to hear it. Well, we want to hear from people who listen to this podcast, don't we? That's
we do. We want to know who you want us to go and talk to, be it top-level riders, grooms, anyone in the industry, basically, and they don't have to have won medals. You know, we want the grassroots people as well.
Yeah. Well, let's face it, there are like 3 million people who are 3 million riders in this country, and many more who are interested in this sport. So I'm sure we'll get bags of suggestions of people we talk to. Now, how do people get in touch? You've been across this. What do people need to do?
So we now have the promised email address.
Yes.
Which is podcast@BEF.co.uk.
Could not really be any simpler, could it? I mean, podcast@BEF.co.uk. It's so easy, isn't it?
A lot of imagination went into that one. We are also on Twitter, so we are at Team GBR on Twitter.
Yeah.
And we are on Facebook, which is at Equestrian Team GBR.
Yes. So if you've got any suggestions, send them through to any of those three. And this always sounds so needy, but please, please, please leave us a 5-star review. It really helps. It really helps if you leave us a nice review if you've enjoyed it. And if you've not enjoyed it, don't leave a review. But you know, you're not going to be listening to this if you've not enjoyed it. Anyway, this is the British Equestrian Podcast, and coming up next we've got Rachel's interview with Piggy French.
You've had a pretty good start to this season, haven't you?
Yes, to be honest, which is great. You know, it's been very exciting, and I'm, you know, very lucky. I've got lovely horses, great owners, and it's just gone right for me for whatever reason. I don't know, but I'm not complaining, and I'm going to enjoy it, because we all know with horses, you know, you never know what's around the corner, and you know, it soon changes and all sorts can go wrong. So don't take anything for granted, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yes, and you sort of have to take the good days when they come, don't you, and make the most of them.
Yes.
And obviously badminton must be a big highlight in there.
It's the biggest highlight ever, to be honest. It's what we've dreamed about since you know, you're so small growing up. Of it's the event everyone wants to win. And it's probably the hardest to actually ever get your nose in front. And it was so close, wasn't it? It was so close. But it's obviously someone just looking down on that day that said it was meant to be my day. So it was amazing and so exciting and lovely for that little horse as well, because she's a real trier and a real 5-star horse, because she just is so brave and just loves to gallop and a real trier. So it's lovely that she's had her day as well.
And she's won, I think, where I'm always surprised that she's not won a 5-star before now, because she's, you know, she's come close a few times. But
she's come close. She's come close. But it's so hard just to be, you know, get over the line in front. So it's just really pleased for her and for Trevor Dickens as well. He's supported the sport for a long time, and so it's nice when people like that deserve it as well, and it does happen to them. So it was all good fun.
Yeah, because he's not just a horse and rider. It's a big team effort to win things like that, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it made I'm so proud for all my staff, my team as well. They work so blimming hard. You know, we all do in horses, but it is such a team effort, and a team effort over quite a long time to get that sort of moment. So very proud for everyone concerned.
And of course there's Vanir Kamira, but there's also Quarry Crest Echo, who's had a pretty good sort of year with the medal at Wegg, and then he did really well at Kentucky as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I hope he's on good form. He's not done anything since Kentucky. He's about to start again. He's got a run on Wednesday at Upton, and then he's selected for Arken, which is a fantastic event. So I'm really excited to hopefully be going there. And, you know, so then, and then who knows where our plans are with the autumn. I think it depends then on selection and that sort of thing as to where we go from there.
And are they quite different horses?
They're completely different. They couldn't really be more different, to be honest. Quarry Crest Echo is very suited to the team sort of situations in my mind, because he's an easy horse to manage. He's very laid back, and you can pick him up and put him down very easily, and his temperament can deal with pretty much anything, where she is very hot and, you know, hot and bothered quite a lot of the time, and everything has to be so right for her to perform well. She's just, you know, tricky to manage, but she is a very good cross-country horse and would do all that she possibly could to make sure she got between those flags and got the job done. So they're very different, but they have, you know, they're very good, both of them, but they've got different strengths and weaknesses, and you know, you have to leave this out of my hands, to be honest, but they're completely different.
And of course, the other thing that's happened this year for you that's quite exciting is you got married the other week.
Yeah, we did.
Which was a bit of a surprise for everyone at your badminton party.
It was a surprise for everyone. We didn't even tell the girls on the yard or anything. So it was brilliant, I have to say. It was everyone was in such good spirit. We've ummed and ahed for the last few years because we've been engaged for a while, whether we would ever do it and how we're going to do it. And I had such a mega response from badminton that I thought, I've got to have a small celebration. And then we thought, why don't we turn it into a surprise wedding halfway through? And anyone who was good enough, you know, because everyone's so busy this time of year, and I could completely understand that it was not going to work for some people to take half a day off. Or if you do get half a day off, you probably want to do something for yourself. And so I was really touched that so many people did come. But we could only get a decent 100 into our church, so it's very hard on invites. You know, and afterwards it's the only down thing of like, oh gosh, maybe I should have had them or whatever. But it was fantastic. I was so excited to see every single person that came to say well done, and to turn it into a wedding. It was definitely one of the best days of my life, and I've had two of them this year, so I'm very lucky.
Yeah, it's been a good one. So how do you keep something like that under wraps? Who actually knew about it in advance?
Just our parents, and I had a lady called Sarah Fowler who used to be my PA, and she's amazing at organising and doing that sort of stuff. And she's very loyal and, you know, great at keeping secrets and not telling anyone. And so it was just them and a couple of my bridesmaids. And so it was actually quite easy. We were so busy building up to it with the end of the 3 days that it was off my mind, to be honest. And because it was so hard to keep it to such a small numbers, it was actually very easy keeping it a secret, because A, you kind of rely on a few no's to be able to get everyone into the church as well. We couldn't change our mind afterwards, and it was, you know, had to be a small amount of people, and it was going to upset me if people knew before and they weren't invited or something like that. And I didn't want people worrying about what to wear and buying a hat or an outfit or buying us a present. You know, we've got everything we need. We live in a little bungalow. I just wanted people that were good enough to come and say well done for badminton, were good enough to come and sit by us while we got married, and it was genuinely great spirits everywhere and we all had a great time, I think, I hope. So it was amazing.
And no Bridezilla moments?
Absolutely not. To be honest, I took nothing into the organisation at all. I said a couple of things. What I like, cocktails was top of the list. It's got to be cocktails at
yeah,
the wedding.
I'm with you at that.
I want it to be a surprise. I want everyone to have had at least a couple of drinks before we go to church. So, and we had a double-decker bus come up to take everyone to church. So, two of them. And I don't want presents, and I don't want people worrying about what they got to wear. I just want it to be easy for everyone. No sit-down places. You grab some food after church, grab a drink. Anyone could come and go as, you know, please go home if they've got commitments or children and that sort of thing, or stay and party if you want to. So for me, it was about having enough food and drink.
And good priorities. Everyone
to come and go as they please. But it, no, I don't think any Bridezilla moments, no. My mum picked my dress for me.
Oh, no.
Offline, which I tried on at Houghton Horse Trials and went home for supper one
typical
night.
Typical eventing style then.
Totally. And she chose two online and one just fitted really well and I thought it looked nice. So I was like, that'll do.
That's somewhat, it. It's my kind of low maintenance wedding planning, I have to say.
A quick train halfway through the party and a lovely girl just bunged my hair up and chucked some flowers in it, which took 2 minutes. And off we went. One more gin just to make sure I was all right for the church. And off we went, and it was great. It was just so cool. I wouldn't have changed anything. And we've got it done, which I really wanted to do. Tom's an amazing person to me. He's my best friend. He's the father and mother of my child, to be honest, because he looks after him so much and is my best friend. And so we wanted to do it, and it was great now that we are.
One less thing to have to worry about.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to you guys. And
Thank you. It's
definitely been your year. I think the hashtag that's been going around is hashtag year of the pig, because
apparently,
for those who don't know, it's also the Chinese New Year of the pig.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Piggy, and good luck. Looking forward to the Europeans and, of course, Tokyo.
Yeah, thank you very much. We all need a bit of luck for that. Thank you.
Thank you.